You have your Bibles, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7 and 8. It says, "And again he limited a certain day, saying in David, today after so long a time, as it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given unto them rest, then would he not afterwards have spoken of another day? Come now, let us reason together." An illustration, a true illustration that I think bears repeating, and I want to share it again with you this morning. Some years ago, in one of the rescue missions in the state of New York, a prominent attorney told how he had become a Christian. He described how at the age of 24, he married a very talented and beautiful young woman. But unfortunately, at that time, he had been almost an atheist, persisted in trying to destroy her faith. After a few years, a baby arrived, and the adoring mother took her daughter to church services. But as the years passed, the girl became more leaning to her father's way of life, and she ceased attending church. And he arranged special outings to provide excuses for his daughter's actions. When she was about 20 years of age, she was engaged to be married, later went with friends on a boating vacation in Pennsylvania. One foolish young man began rocking the boat and eventually capsized, throwing its occupants into the icy water. They were all excellent swimmers, but unwisely, instead of drying their clothing, they drove home in wet garments. The girl contracted pneumonia, became gravely ill. When she realized that death was approaching, she sobbed and said, "Daddy, I don't want to die." The attorney paused for just a bit, for it was difficult to control his emotions. The girl's voice was getting weaker when she said, "Daddy, you've been saying all along that there was no need to worry about religion, that if I did what was right, heaven would take care of itself." Mother disagreed, telling me that I needed Christ as my Savior and needed to repent of my sins. "Daddy, now that I'm dying, will you please tell me which way I should go? Mother's way or yours?" The father leaned towards her and, grasping his daughter in his arms, nearly lifting her off the bed. As he held her tightly to his chest, he whispered, "Darling, if you have a moment to spare, for Christ's sake, for your own sake, and for your mother's sake, and for your hard-hearted daddy's sake, take mother's way." That sorrowful parent explained that by the time that he had lowered the frail body of his daughter back into the bed, she was gone. Then he stepped into the aisle and pulled desperately at his gray hair and said, "Brothers and sisters, only God knows whether my little darling had enough time to take her mother's way." What a disturbing story. Yet I'm sure it's repeated numbers of times in the world in which we live. But it reminds us of this text that I shared with you this morning today. Today is a priceless opportunity. Yesterday has gone forever. We can't call it back. Tomorrow may never come. Today is a part of time which is fleeting. If something needs to be done urgently, it needs to be done now. Do it. And if you hear his voice or personal obedience is suggested or implied. When any person is able to hear the voice of God, that's a good thing. It just simply reminds us that God is still speaking to us. Then he says, "Harden not your heart." When the Savior seeks admission to the human heart, only two responses are possible. That is, do nothing, let him stay on the outside, or invite him to come into your heart and life and be your Savior. The Bible says that Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man can hear my voice and will open the door, I will come into him and sup with him, and he with me." Now, history teaches us that occasionally opportunity comes only once in life. And so a person better take care of that opportunity. Because what is done then will decide destiny. A lost chance may never ever return again. And God through Isaiah said that even though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. And though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. He said, let us reason together about this. A person needs to understand and decide early on in life not to go and sow those wild oats, but to recognize that life is a fleeting thing. You look at the obituaries and you will find folks at every age leaving the walk of this life. Just because you're young and in good health, just because everything is going well now, is no assurance of what will happen tomorrow. So come now, God says, and we will come to the place in our life that we'll either come to the place that we'll listen to the voice of God and come, or we will come someday, we say, but that someday may never come. The Bible tells us in Luke chapter 17, verse 27, they did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Peter said that God spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness. Now, the Apostle Peter described Noah as a preacher of righteousness, and this is a kind of an interesting statement. For at the time, there was no gospel to be preached, and the Almighty was regarded as stern and grave. But he was the omnipotent ruler of the universe, and that he could and would punish folks that displeased him. Now, we all know God's omnipotent. We all know that God has a desire for all of us to repent and be saved. God hates sin. The Ten Commandments had not been given at the time, and therefore Noah was limited in his knowledge, but he denounced the conduct of the people of his day. That is, he called them out for the fact of their sin. The Bible said God spared not the angels that sin, but cast them down to hell and delivered them unto chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. Now, if God spared not the angels that sin, will he do different with us? And we know, no. God hates sin. It is a stench to the nostrils of Almighty God. You see, the events that happened during Noah's lifetime were abominable. They were disgusting. And he denounced what he had saw. And I'm sure that he became the object of scorn and ridicule. And it was only when the water started to rise up on the side of that boat and it began to float that the flood shattered the self-confidence of those folks. And they began to realize that maybe what Noah had been saying all along was right. Now, I think you know this morning that the world is not giving any attention as a whole to the cause of Christ. They're more concerned about things, money, pleasure, and they're not concerned about spiritual matters. In fact, the church is being persecuted all around the world today because there is a dim view taken towards Christianity. If there's ever been a time that we need to stand and stand and stand, it's this day in which we live this morning. When the door of the ark was closed and the rain started falling from the sky, the scoffers began to realize that maybe it was that what had been said by Noah was going to come to pass. And I'm sure they couldn't hardly believe their eyes, because you see, it had never rained before, and water or dew came up and watered the earth at the time. Well, they looked up and they saw those storm clouds. They heard the thunder roll. They saw the lightning flashing. And brethren, it was raining bucketfuls. And it didn't let up for 40 days and 40 nights. The rain came, and the people became increasingly alarmed. And I can see some running to higher ground. I can see some trying to hold on to that boat. But 40 days and 40 nights, the water kept rising until nobody was alive save those eight souls in the ark. I don't know about you, but when I read in the Bible about as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. It reminds me of the fact that in the last days, things are going to wax worse and worse. They're not going to get better. Folks tell us that by government taking charge of our lives and doing for us, that everything is going to get better. The only way things will ever get better is folks to get saved, and the world to turn back to God. We can have real revival in our land. I'm here to tell you this morning that because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. We're living in a time when you can't hardly get folks to come to church. You can't get them to be interested in spiritual matters. I don't understand it. But I know the devil has come and done a number on this world, America included. And folks think they've got all kinds of time. I'll do it tomorrow. It came to pass after 7 days that the water of the floods were upon the earth, and all the fountains of the great deep broken up. The windows of heaven were opened, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. 7 days. A number of completion, fulfillment. 7 days they had been in that ark waiting. Nothing happened for 7 days. But when the 7 days had passed, then the rains came. The fountains of the deep broke up. Water was coming from everywhere. What God had said came to pass just the way he said it. I'm convinced as it was, so shall it be. And he said, it will not be destroyed by water again, but by fire. And that day is going to come, brother. We can see that things are moving in a climactic way towards that great day of the coming of the Lord and judgment. It behooves us to be ready. The Bible also tells us about Sodom and Gomorrah, a very wicked city. You remember the story how that God saw that their sin was very grievous in his eyes, and God was going to destroy them. But I see Abraham coming to the Lord and saying, Lord, if there are 50 people in the city that's righteous, would you destroy it? He was interceding. He knew Lot was there. The Lord said, peradventure there be 50, I'll not destroy the city. He said 45 and 40 and 30 and 20, and he went down to 10. He said, Lord, if there be 10 folks in that city that's righteous, would you destroy the city for the sake of 10 righteous? And the Lord said, no, I'll not destroy the city. Listen, the Lord knows his own, doesn't he? He knows his own. And we can be assured of the fact God's going to provide for his children. He'll take care of us. But judgment is going to come upon sin. I don't know just how the fire came, but I choose to believe what the Bible said, that he sent fire and brimstone from heaven. There are scientists that try to explain it this way and that way, but I like God's way. I like to just say, well, I don't understand how God did it, but the Bible said that it came down from heaven, so I believe that's exactly what happened, and it destroyed that wicked city. Sodom was inhabited by homosexuals who refused to abandon their evil practices, and their doom was inevitable. And the Bible in the New Testament describes a similar situation. Wherefore, in Romans chapter 1, verse 24 through 28, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affection, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one towards another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense, that payment of the error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate or a depraved mind to do those things that are not convenient. It is evident when God gives up on a man, a woman, they're beyond redemption. This is accentuated by the fact of our text that says today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. And then there's the procrastination of a monarch. But when Pharaoh saw that there was respite or relief, he hardened his heart and hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said. Now, Pharaoh was thought to be a god by the people of Egypt. And maybe it was, in his own estimation, he was even greater than that. And there is a danger when a self-made deity worships at his own altar. This arrogant ruler detested Moses and Aaron, who came and became a daily nuisance and an annoyance to him. Nevertheless, he was disturbed by the fact that these Hebrew leaders had strange powers, and they demanded the liberation of the slave and warned Pharaoh of coming retribution if he didn't do it. Now, I'm convinced that we serve a God that is all powerful. All means all. He has all power. And the Bible tells us that he did not respond favorably. And the king hardened his heart as the Lord had predicted, and terrible plagues came upon Egypt. After promising to cooperate, he always changed his mind until that last time, and then he still did the same thing. It is possible for one to become set in their ways, so set that change becomes impossible. Brethren, it is hard to reach through the hardness of a heart that has just tuned God out. It's hard to understand how a person can do that. And I don't understand why that they want to kill Christians. And our philosophy is to love everybody. But I'm going to tell you, it's the devil. We're fighting against powers and principalities. We're fighting against the devil himself, and he hates Christ. He hates Christianity. He hates us as Christians. He'll do everything that he can to destroy us. But the Lord's in control. He is in control. Had the ruler been wise, he would have lived a lot longer. When the waters of the Red Sea overwhelmed the Egyptian army and Pharaoh was there, he died with his men as the waters came back together. He thought he was a god. He thought he had all power. But God showed him there's only one God. And that's the great God of heaven. Pharaoh did not recognize the God in whose hand his breath was. And his life was snuffed out. His breath was taken away. And he went into eternity, lost into a devil's hell. Then the final thought is the procrastination of a man. Then Judas, which had betrayed him when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priest and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple, and he departed, and he went out and hanged himself. It's been a lot of thought. Go to the statement, Judas repented himself. It's been used to distort the truth. Movies have pictured Judas as a man that found favor with the Lord in his last hours as he went to Calvary's cross and he confessed, Lord, I've sinned against you. I've betrayed innocent blood. But I want to remind you of what the Bible says. This is Jesus' prayer, John chapter 17, the Lord's prayer. He said, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, Judas, that the scripture might be fulfilled. You see, Judas was a lost soul that even Christ could not save. His doom had been sealed. He had said no. He turned against the Lord. He hardened his heart. But he called, but it was too late. Do you not think that there'll be a lot of folks in this world that are going to call out to God in their dying hour, in the very throes of hell itself? And God will not hear. You see, while there's time and space for repentance, and that's now in this day, if you hear his voice, if you hear his voice, and if you feel that tug on your heart, it's not too late. And the fact that you're here this morning tells me it's not too late for anyone that's here. Because there's a concern in your soul to be right with God. But there will come a day, and the opportune time may be today. For today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. So today may be the opportune time to get right with him. Tomorrow may never come. You know, it's just possible that you can drive down the highway, the interstate, and you'll never get home. It's possible that you can have a heart attack or a stroke. You'll never get home. It's possible that your life can just be snuffed out. So whatever you do, do what Christ wants you to do. And do it today. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart, but come unto him. Let's pray.